Okay, Bracha Staf Nun Zayin. Beis Hashem, we're holding in the special 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkis. Says the Gemara, Haraya Huna Machalayim. If a person sees, Rashi explains the word Huna. Actually, Gemara is about to say it in a second. If a person sees Huna in his dream, spelled out as such, Neis Nasalay. So the Nun corresponds to that a miracle will happen for him. Chanina, Chanania, Yechanan, any of these names that have two Nuns. Nisei Nisim Nasalay. Miracle of miracles will happen for him. Haraya Hesper Machalayim in Hashemayim. If someone sees the word if he sees the word Hesped written out in his dream, so it means that from heaven they were compassionate upon him and they redeemed him from, I guess, whatever horrible thing was supposed to happen to him. If you see yourself answering Yehesh Mei Rabo in your dream, so you know for sure that you are a Ben Olam Habo. If you see yourself saying Shema in your dream, it means that really you are deserving of having the Shechina, the Divine Presence, rest upon you and have Nevuah, just that your generation doesn't deserve it. If you see yourself putting on tefillin in a dream, you should look forward to greatness. As it says, all the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, and they will be in awe of you. These are referring to the tefillin that a person wears on his head. So the tefillin shebaraish indicate greatness. If someone saw himself davening in his dream and he woke up in the middle of the dream while he was still davening in his dream, so then that's a good sign. So Rashi says it's a sign that he's very close to Hashem. But if he finished the dream, so it's a little bit of a sign that, like, you know, so to speak, like, you know, okay, so he's finished talking to Hashem, but if he was still davening when the dream ended, so it's a sign that he's very close to Hashem. If a person has relations with his mother in his dream, yitzap labina, you should look forward towards understanding. Shenemar, as it says, ki aim labina tikro. You shall call understanding mother. If someone sees himself in a dream having relations with a betrothed maiden, yitzap labina, you should look forward towards Torah. Shenemar, as it says, Torah tzivlana Moshe mayirashi kilis Yaakov. Moshe commanded us the Torah, the inheritance of the of Kilus Yaakov. I'll take it you can read it as Mei Rasa, betrothed. If a person has relations with his sister in his dream, you should look forward towards wisdom. As it says, because it says you shall say to wisdom, you're my sister. If a person has relations with a married woman in his dream, then it means he's for sure a Ben Olam Haba. So Rashi says that what it means is that he's going to have his own chelek in Olam Haba and his friend's chelek in Olam Haba. Because a person's wife is kind of like an indication, in a certain sense, of his chelek in Gan Eden. But that's only if he doesn't know about her and he didn't think about her during the nighttime. So, I mean, obviously if he doesn't know her, how could he possibly think about her? So I was thinking maybe it could be that he was stum thinking about the concept of having relations with a married woman, even if not a specific woman, so then the dream would only be an indication of his hirhurim and not anything else. Or if he knows this woman, but he didn't have any hirhurim about her, so then also, it's not necessarily an indication of anything. So, I mean, this Gemara is certainly a fascinating Gemara. You know, without seeing this Gemara, I certainly think any of us would have thought that if a person would have a dream like this, it's a very bad sign, right? You know, a person having a dream about having relations with his mother, sister, betrothed girl, or a married woman, I mean, it certainly sounds, you know, like pretty awful. But yet, the Gemara says that, that on the contrary, if he wasn't having hirhurim about it, and it just came to him in his dream, it's actually a good sign. The only thing that I wonder is that if he woke up and he found that Zera came out of his body as a result of the dream, is that also included that it's still, you know, all these good things apply? Because generally the Sfarim speak about how it's considered to be a pretty negative thing when Zera comes out of the body, even if it was not his fault at all, it's still not considered something positive. Although we'll see on the Gemara Amar Beis that that's not, you know, 100% true all the time. So that's just generally speaking, if a person would have a dream about having relations, he would probably wake up, you know, I imagine, finding Zera on his body. So, it sounds like that it would still apply. All right, definitely a very, very, very mechudosh dika Gemara, very fascinating Gemara. But, okay, says the Gemara for the Amar b'chiba rabba, harei achit machalim, if you see wheat in your dream, ra shalom, it's an indication of peace. Shenemar asam gvulich shalom, chenet chitim yasbiyech. He places peace in your borders, and he satisfies you with the best, choicest wheat. Someone sees barley in his dream. Saru avanaisav means that his iniquities have gone away. Your iniquities have gone away and your sins are atoned. So sar is like Lashon Sa'ira. Or sar avain, sar ayra, right? Sounds like Sa'ira. Omer Rebizer anoli salakim be'evelay. So the chazi sar b'chalmo. Rebizer said, I didn't go up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael until I saw barley in my dream. So the Maharsha says that this is kind of what the Gemara, this is like the Gemara that says in Ksubis that someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is living without iniquity. So it kind of sounds to me that what the Maharsha says is that Rabbi Zera took his dream of the barley as being a simon that he should move to Eretz Yisrael. But I was thinking, I don't know if that's 100% clear in the Maharsha, and I was thinking that it could be that Rabbi Zera, for sure, he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Just he knew, like the Gra writes in Igeres HaGra to his wife, that you know, in Eretz Yisrael in particular, people have to be particularly careful about keeping the mitzvahs because it's the palace of the king. So he didn't want to go, he didn't want to, you know, take that bold step, so to speak, until he was assured that he was roi lekach in his own mind. If the person sees a grapevine full of grapes in his dream, means that his wife will not miscarry. Shenemar, as it says, your wife is like a fruitful grapevine. So if he sees a branch of a grapevine in his dream, he should look forward to Mashiach. It's coming up. Actually, that might even be this week's parsha. Is that this week's parsha? Next week's parsha? I think it's actually this week's parsha. Let's take a look for a second. No, I'm sorry. That was in Parshas at the end of that's when Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to his to the Shvatim, right? And I think Parshas Vayechi, right? The reason why I got mixed up is because Rashi points out that the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gives in Vizayis HaBracha to Klal Yisrael are very, very similar to the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Shvatim before he was Nifter in Parshas Vayechi. Okay. Fine, so you see this pasuk, Isaac the Gavanir of the Sereka Bnei Asinai, is a reference to Mashiach, so if you see a Sereka, a branch of a grapevine in your dream, look forward to it, Mashiach. Hareya te'ena bachalayim, if you see a fig or a fig tree maybe in your dream, Tairasa yustameres bekirbay means that your Tairah will be guarded within you. Shenamar, as it says, Naitzer te'ena yechol pirya, someone who guards a fig will eat its fruit. And you have to guard a Tairah, you guard a fig, okay? Hareya rimayne bachalayim, if you see pomegranates in your dream, Zutrei, if they're small, party iske kirimayne, means that your business is going to be fruitful like a pomegranate. You know, there's so many seeds in there. If they're big pomegranates, Rabbi is kekidimunim. That means that your business will expand and become big like a pomegranate. I was wondering, you know, what's the difference between being fruitful and expanding? So I was thinking maybe it could be like the difference between, let's say, if a person has a store and he has a lot of customers always coming to the store. So that's called a fruitful business, right? Whereas if a person, let's say, opens up more stores and he winds up having a chain of stores, so then that's expanding his business. You know, you could expand your business and not necessarily have such a fruitful business. You could, you know, it's two aspects. Obviously, you know, the best thing is if it's fruitful and there's a lot of customers, then you're able to expand and have a chain of stores as well. Says Gemara, for the palge, if they are cut pieces of pomegranate, in tamal chalchem, in tamal taira. If he's a tamal chalchem, so you should look forward towards taira, I guess, you know, higher attainments in taira. Shenemar, as it says, ashkech mi yin harekach, mi asis ramonei, I will give you to drink from the yin harekach and from the cider of pomegranate cider. Imam Aretz, which is a reference to Torah. Imam Aretz, you talk about the mitzvahs. And if he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's an Imam Aretz, so you should look forward towards mitzvahs. Shenemar, as it says, Kefelach Harimon Rakaseich. So your raka is like the piece of a pomegranate. My rakaseich, what does it mean rakaseich? Your raka, reka. I feel like Rekarach Bechamalei mitzvahs kirimen. Even the empty ones, amongst even those that are not Talmud Chacham and are relatively empty, are still full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. By the way, I'd like to point out over here that we discussed earlier that the Brisker Rav said that only someone, you know, whose influences are completely and totally only from Torah, do their dreams have any significance whatsoever. So you see over here that that even though the guy's an Am Haaretz, right, his dreams can still have significance. So it's not necessarily a kasha on the Brisker Rav because the Am Haaretz doesn't necessarily have to have, you know, strange, so to speak, hashpa'is, zara'is, you know, like non-Jewish like hashpah is coming from the outside. It's just that his Yiddish hashpah is not as strong as the Talmud Chacham, obviously, but it could be that it's just, you know, he has a blank slate. He's blank. So his dreams, so his neshama is not, you know, tainted in any sense. So therefore his dream could still carry, you know, the significance. Whereas if his girl was referring to someone, you know, who has hashpah, you know, from secular literature or, you know, marketing tactics that, you know, all come from very goyish sources, and these are not, you know, Jewish things. They're not necessarily Dvarim Asurim that we're talking about, but things that, you know, the influence is not purely Jewish, so to speak, You know, so therefore, it could, according to the Biskarab, strongly affect whether his dreams would have significance or not. Okay, so let's go further. If you see olives in your dreams, if they're small, it means that your business is going to be fruitful, right? And it will stay around, like olives. That's if you see olives, the actual fruit. But if you see olive groves, olive trees, it means you're going to have a lot of children. It says, your sons are like groves of olives, like olive trees that are planted, etc. Others say that if you see an olive in your dream, it means that you're going to get a good reputation. Right, that Hashem called your name by like a zayis ranan, and a beautiful fruit. If you see olive oil in your dream, it's olive Torah. You should look forward towards the light of Torah. So I guess before when it said Torah, it means just, you know, the basic broad knowledge base, and this is referring to, I guess, you know, insights. That's my assumption. Shenemar, as I said, or maybe it means Kabbalah, Ma'or Torah, maybe the light of Torah is the secrets of the Torah, possibly, maybe. Shenemar, as it says, V'yichlei lecha shem zayzach, they will take for you pure olive oil, which of course, it's brought down, the Menorah corresponds to Torah Shabbal Peh. Hanavayah t'mori machaloyim tamah avanayis. If you see dates in your dream, it means that your sins have been wiped out. Shenemar tamah avanayich bas tziyoyin, your sins have been wiped out, daughter of Zion. Amar Rabbi Yosef Baroi Eiz Bachalayim Shalom Mizmarech. So if you see a goat in your dream, it means you're going to have a blessed year. Izim, if you see more than one goat in your dream, Shanim Mizmarech. So you're going to have blessed years in the plural. Shenemar, as it says, V'di Chalav Izim L'lachmecha, right, that you'll have the milk of goats for your bed. So you see that the general sustenance of a person is associated with goats. Haroya Hadas Bachalayim, if you see a Hadas in your dream, Nechasim Atzichalayim, your properties will be successful. Rashi says because a Hadas indicate success because, you know, the leaves, you know, are so close to each other and they just go up and up and up, around and up. If you don't have properties, you'll wind up having an inheritance fall to you from some other place. Amar Ula, said, or maybe it was a Braisa, that's only if you see the Hadassim connected to the ground. If you see an Esrog in your dream, means that you are beautiful before the Almighty. Shenemar, as it says, again, this is Mam Shenemar, the Yavish, Shenemar says, Priyates Hadar Kapis Farim, right? The Esrog is a called a pre-eitz hadar, a beautiful fruit. It means that you have one heart to your Father in heaven. So I guess this is, you know, this helps us to appreciate a little bit, you know, the tam of the mitzvah when we're doing the dalet minim, right, to think about how, not only that the eser, we're supposed to be beautiful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the lulav, which points straight up to Shemaim, so our hearts are supposed to point up straight up to Shemaim, right, and I guess that while we're saying Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, and all these things, and waving the lulav, maybe we should perhaps ponder these thoughts for a moment, and, you know, ask Hashem to help us taka be beautiful to Him, and help us to taka have one lave to Him. It says Gemara for the Haray Avos Bachalim, if you see a goose in your dream, it's Avos Chachma, you should look forward to his wisdom. Shenemar Chachma is Bachutz Tareina, wisdoms cry out in the outside. So it's like, you know, geese that, you know, quack away, or whatever it is, the sound that they make while they're walking in the streets. If in your dream you have relations with the goose, have a Rosh Hashiva, it means you're going to wind up being a Rosh Hashiva. Again, something that we would have thought is quite depressing if you would have a dream about it, and Chazal tell us that, I don't know, but no, it's a very positive thing. Amar Ravashi, Ani Risei Obasilela, says Ravashi, I saw a goose in my dream, Ubasilela, and I had relations with it in my dream, Usaikis Lagdula, and I wound up achieving greatness. I became the Rosh Hashiva. If you see a rooster in your dream, it's Abba Leben Zachar, you should look forward to having a male son. Tanagalim, if you see roosters in the plural in your dream, Salabanim is fine, you should look forward towards having numerous sons. Tanagalim, if you see a chicken, a female chicken in your dream, it's Abba Tabitana, you should look forward towards having, Rashi says that Tabitana is either a beautiful yard or garden or a beautiful base medrash. Vehila, and joy. So if you see a female chicken in your dream, so a beautiful tarbitza, which is either a garden or a base medrash, and joy. By the way, I think you see from here just an interesting point that it's important. I mean, I think it's patently obvious because of the mitzvah of Zekeli Vanveyu, right, and Hidr Mitzvah and Kavara Taira, but you see from here another time where a base medrash is supposed to be beautiful. If you see eggs in your dream, it means that what you're requesting of God is, you know, hanging in the balance. If they were broken, it means that you are going to get what you wanted. So too when it comes to walnuts and kishuim, which usually we translate nowadays in modern Hebrew as cucumbers, but in the context of this Gemara, it cannot be that that's what it's talking about. Right? So kishuim and glass vessels and any other thing that break, like these types of things. So, you know, cucumbers don't really break if you drop them. That's why it's saying that over here in L'chairo. Maybe it's talking to, you know, cucumbers is part of the, maybe in the language of Chazal, cucumbers is part of what we would otherwise call the gourd family. So there are some types of, you know, gourds that tuck if you drop them, so it'll break open. Okay, Hanichlis the Krach, Nas Lichafatzov. if you see yourself in your dream entering a big city, so that means that you're going to get what you want. Shenemar, as it says, Vayinachem al mechos chetzom, right, he led them to the place where they wanted to go. Hamagleach Rosh Hashanah, if you see yourself shaving in your dream or cutting your hair in your dream, Simigafalai, it's a good sign for you. Rosh Hashanah, if you see yourself cutting the hair of your head and of your beard, so then it is a good sign for you and your whole family. If you see yourself sitting in a small tub in your dream, shame tavi yitzel, it means that you're going to have a good reputation. In a big tub, it means that you and your whole family will wind up getting a good reputation. That's if it's only a tub, like a small boat or a big boat on the high seas, that you saw yourself in the dream. If you see yourself defecating in your dream, it's a good sign. Right, the tzayak quickly comes out. It's a good sign. Behind the kinach, but that's only if in your dream you didn't see yourself wiping yourself, because then there's no aspect of you getting soiling yourself in the process. If you went up to a roof in your dream, it means you're gonna go up to great stature. Yarad, if you went down from the roof, yarad means you're gonna go down from your great stature. Rabbi and Rava both say, kimsha Allah, Allah. So once you go up, you go up. You're not gonna wind up coming down. If you see yourself ripping your clothing in your dream, karm l'gzardina means that you're. Decree in heaven is going to be ripped up. Now, it doesn't say if it means a bad decree, but I assume that's what it means. If you see yourself standing naked in your dream, if you're living in Bavel, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it means that you're standing without any sin. Because Rashi says that really, primarily mitzvahs are in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, we do mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. But there's a very great aspect to which it's just kind of practice to keep us in practice. Obviously, it's achiv d'iraisa, but in the hashkafa shabbai, there's a certain respect in which it's just kind of like practice until we get back to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, you do get schar, but the main schar of doing mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So, outside of Eretz Yisrael, explains Rashi, the main thing is to stay away from Averis. So, if he sees himself naked outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it means he's without the Averis that he's taka supposed to be without Eretz Yisrael. But if he's in Eretz Yisrael and he saw himself naked in his dream, arm below mitzvahs, means that he's naked without mitzvahs, so he's got to fix himself up. Hanitvas l'sardiyot, if you see yourself arrested in your dream, Shmira Nasisle means that in heaven they're guarding you. Nasnuba Kailar, and Hashem is giving you maybe a malach to guard you or something like that. Nasnuba Kailar, so if you were put in a that metal collar thing that they put in the old time prisoners. So it's even more guarding. He's being guarded even more from heaven. That's only if it's a proper, the metal thing, but not just the rope. If you go into a marsh in your dream, Rashi says, where there's all different size reeds and bushes and trees, etc. Nazar Hashiva means that you're going to be a Hashiva, because Rashi says that Hashiva says Shir to all different types of people. The greater stature ones, the less stature ones, a lot of times the Baba Batim. Once upon a time, Rosh Hashiva and the Rav went together. It was Rav and Rosh Hashiva. Liar, if he sees himself entering a forest in his dream, Nasar Ishtabene Kala, it means that he will become the head of the Talmidim, which Rashi explains means that sometimes, we have this Adigay Mezeh. Nowadays we generally call it a Meshiv, right, but not necessarily, right, that there's someone who's like the top Talmid, he's like maybe not even a Talmid, he's like, one of the top Talmidei Chachamim. So, for whatever reason, someone else was selected as a Rosh Shiva. So, often what he'll do is that after the Rosh Shiva gives a shir, not everybody understands it 100%, so he'll go over it to them and make sure that they understand it well. So that's like a forest, because he's only dealing with the Talmidim, which are much greater than just the general populace. You kind of wonder, what is a bigger schus? What's a bigger schus, to be a Rosh Shiva or to be a Reish L'Bnei Kala? To be a Rosh Shiva or the Rosh Chabura or, the Meshiv, right? Because on the one hand, you would say, the Rosh Shiva, he's the head of everybody. But on the other hand, you could say, listen, the Rosh Shiva has to deal with everybody. He has to deal with also logistics as well. He has to deal with the smallest of the small to the greatest of the great. Whereas the person who's the Rosh Chabura, right, nowadays just, let's say, a Magid Shir, right, or he's the Meshiv, so he only deals with, the top, he's only dealing with the Talmidim, meaning the cream of the crop, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, the people that are, in full-time learning, etc. So it could be that in a certain sense, his chos is bigger, because he gets to have, a higher level pilpula d'iraisa. Depends on just pointing out possible ha'ara. I once heard that Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal said that nowadays a Rosh Hashiva is not Tehrasu Mnasei, because he's so burdened with logistical things and fundraising issues and all different types of issues, whereas a Magid Shir could yet be Tehrasu Mnasei. A Magid Shir could taka be Tehrasu Mnasei, because it's possible for a Magid Shir to have only Tehra to deal with anything else. I think that many Magidei Shir are not Terasim Nasai in the sense that he's referring to it, because, they have to deal with issues with Bachrim sometimes, and they have to help out, being Masada Chavrusas, and it's not only Tehra 24/7, but the point is an important point. A lot of times people think, there's nothing better than being a Rosh Hashiva. I think his point was that, in a very real sense, there's nothing better than being a Magid Shir. Okay, says the Gemara. For the Rav Papa and Rav Huna bring the Rav Shua Chazal Chalmor. Rav Papa and Rav Huna bring the Rav Shua had a dream. Rav Papa the Ayla Agman Asar Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Papa went into a marsh, became the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Huna bring the Rav Shua the Ayla Yar Asar Rosh Benikala. Rav Huna bring the Rav Shua went into a forest and his dream became the head of the Talmidim. We explained a little bit ago. Okay, Ikadami Tavari La Agma Ayli. Others say that they both had a dream about going into a marsh. Ella Rav Papa the Tali Tavla Asar Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Papa, who had some type of instrument with which he was, like some type of symbol or something like that, and making and banging it and making noise. So that indicates, you know, that he's going to be, he's giving his shiurim, you know, spreading out. So that he became the Shiva. Rav Huna b'Rav Shua, the light of the Tavla Naseh, the Rishna Kalan, this, and Rav Huna b'Rav Shua didn't have this in his dream, so he just became the head of the Talmidim. Amar Rav Ashi, on Ayles Lagam, the light of the Tavla Naseh, Nabuchay, said Rav Ashi, I saw myself going to a marsh, and I had the symbol-like instrument, and I made noise with it, and I became the Shiva. Interestingly enough, right, it was Rav Ashi before, right, that we said, the Gemara said before that if you see a goose in your dream, and you wind up, and in your dream you see yourself having relations with the goose, so then it's an indication that he's going to become a Rosh Yeshiva. So we just saw a minute ago, that I'm just trying to locate it again, for some reason it is escaping my eyes, right, but if I remember correctly, so, yeah, here it was, this, in the middle of the, you know, wide line part that we're dealing with right now. Yeah, Omar Rashi and Rishi Bosi Olo. So interestingly enough, Rav Ashi had a dream about having relations with the goose, and he had the dream about going into the marsh. Right? So you kind of wonder, like, why did he need both dreams? I'm just going to throw something out, take it or leave it. Maybe he had one dream, but he, in his humility, he didn't want to become Rosh Yeshiva, and then Hashem sent him another dream, so that way he got the point and decided, okay, I got to become Rosh Yeshiva. Fine, Hashem. Says the Gemara, for the Tanit Amidah Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Abraisa Seir said over Abraisa in front of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, if a person sees himself bloodletting in a dream, it means that his iniquities are forgiven. But the Abraisa says his iniquities are ordered, you know, are put into order. It means that they are put into order to be able to be absolved and forgiven. Tanit Tanit Amidah Rav Sheishes, Abraisa said over in front of Sheishes, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, if a person sees a snake in his dream, Panasosim is a menace like, then his parnasa will be easily available for him. Right? Like the snake, Rashi says that, you know, his food is relatively easily available. If the snake bites him in his dream, it means that he'll have double parnasa. Hargoy avda parnasa. So if you kill the snake in your dream, so it means that your parnasa will be lost. She says, no, all the more so that if he killed it and he overcame the snake, it means that his parnasa will be doubled. Like, that's really not true. Rav Sheshes saw a snake in his dream and he killed it in his dream. So he wanted to interpret it for the positive. But really, the proper pshat means that his parnasa will go away. But Rav Sheshes obviously wanted to interpret his dream positively. So again, based on what we learned earlier, it depends, you know, through which channel, so to speak, Hashem sent the dream, you know, and how much the interpretation could impact it. Tani Tana Kamei Rabbi Yechonon, a brace of Sederah before Rabbi Yechonon, Kamei Mashkin Nefet L'Chalayim, if a person sees any drink in his dream, it's a good sign, Chutz Ben Yayin, except for wine, Yesh Yosei Avet Tavlai, Yesh Yosei Avet, because some people drink wine and it's good for them, some people drink wine and it's bad for them, Yesh Yosei Avet Tavlai, what's the case of someone who drinks wine and it's good for them, Shnevar B'Yayin, Yisvach L'Aven, Yesh Pasuk says, wine gladdens the heart of man, Yesh Yosei Avet Tavlai, there's someone who could drink wine and it's bad for him, Shnevar says, Nushek L'Aven, B'Yayin L'Mari Nafish, give beer to someone who's, you know, lost, and wine to the bitter of soul. You should say in your braisa that if he's a talmud chacham, then it's always good for him if he's wine. This pasuk is a reference to Torah. So if it's a talmud chacham, then it's the context of Torah, then it's always a positive sign. Says the Yechon, Hishkim, an awful pasuk. The person woke up, and a pasuk falls into his mouth. We saw this earlier. It's a miniature prophecy. There are three kings that a person can see in his dream. Alright, David Bachalim, a person sees David Malach in his dream, it's Abel Chassidus. He should look forward towards piety. Shlomo, if he sees Shlomo Malach in his dream, it's Abel Chassidus. He should look forward towards wisdom. Achav, if he sees Achav in his dream, he should be worried about retribution. Shlomo, there are three prophets. Alright, Sefer Malachim, a person sees the book of Malachim, the Sefer of Malachim in his dream, it's Abel Gdili. He should look forward towards greatness. Yecheskel, if he sees Yecheskel in his dream, it's Abel Chachma. He should look forward towards wisdom. Yishayo, it's Abel Chachma. If he sees Yishayo in his dream, he should look forward towards consolation. If he sees Yirmiyahu in his dream, he should be worried about retribution. They point out that over here there's four, and it's a machlekes which one to take out. Okay. Shloshik suvim gedolim, there are three great suvim. Haroya sevet tehillim, if you see tehillim in your dream, it's avle chassidus, you should look forward towards piety. Mishle, if you see mishle in your dream, it's avle chachma, you should look forward towards wisdom. Iyo, if you think about numbers, if you see Iyo in your dream, you should be fearful of retribution. Shloshik suvim gedolim, there are three minor suvim. Haroya shir ashir machlekes, if you see shir ashir in your dream, it's avle chassidus, look forward towards piety. Kahele, see, it's avle chachma, if you see kahele in your dream, look forward towards wisdom. Kines, if you think about, if you see Kines in your dream, be worried about retribution. Rav Megillas Esther, Nesan Asale, if you see Megillas Esther in your dream, a miracle will happen for you. Or maybe it means that it already happened. You know, we don't always notice when miracles happen for us. Shloisha Chachamim, that's a Gemara in Shabbos. Shloisha Chachamim, there are three wise men. Harei Rabbi Bechalim, Yisabel Chachamim. If you see Rabbi Nijim, look forward towards wisdom. Rabbi Lazar Nazayim, Yisabel Ashur. If you see Rabbi Lazar Nazayim, Nijim, look forward towards wealth. Rabbi Shulman Elisha, Yidek Maparanus, Rabbi Shulman Elisha, as we just read in Yom Kippur, was one of the Asara Rugim Malchus, that they skinned his, the skin of his face, because the daughter of the Noah, whatever, she wanted it, he was so beautiful, she wanted him to be saved, so at least give me the skin. So someone should be fearful of retribution. He sees Rabbi Shulman Elisha in his dream. There are three students of the Chachamim, meaning they never actually got Snicha. So, if a person sees Ben Azza in his dream, it's Chassidus, he should look forward towards piety. Ben Zayma, it's Abel Chachma. If he sees Ben Zayma in his dream, he should look forward towards wisdom. Acher, if he sees Lushab Nevuya in his dream, Yidag Ben Peranos, he should be worried about retribution. Which sounds like from here that Elisha Ben Avuya never got Snicha, but I was always under the impression that he was a full fledged, you know, Tana, just back in those days, they still weren't called by Rabbi, but you see from here in the Gemara that he never actually got Smicha. I mean, Ben Azza and Ben Zayman were certainly deserving of Smicha. I forget why they never actually got it. But they certainly were of the greatest Talmud Chachamim that there were. Okay, says the Gemara for the Kol Minichai, if a person sees any type of animal in his dream, it's a good sign. Chutz min apil ve'akoy ve'akipoid, except for a elephant, ape, and Rashi says some type of monkey with a long tail. Because these things are kind of ugly, so that's why it's not a good sign. Or maybe Rashi says in the further Gemara, but you said before that if you see an elephant in your dream, so it means that a wonder will be done for you, which is a good thing. Like the misarik, again, like we said earlier, that it depends if it has some type of saddle on it, or it has a reins on it, so, you know, of some sort, or not. Meaning it's under some sort of control. If you see any type of metal in your dream, it's a good sign. Like any type of vessel or tool made out of metal, it's a good sign. Except for these three things. So the last one is an axe. I think Mar Rashi touches is some type of digging tool, like a shovel or something like that. And a pestle sounds like something that you use, like kind of like a chisel, maybe. So I guess because these things are used like for cutting purposes, maybe, or something like that. That's only if you saw it together with the handle, because then you could talk and use it for what it's meant to be used. All types of produce is good if you see it in your dream, it's a good sign. Unless you see unripened dates. All types of vegetables is a good sign if you see it in your dream, except for turnip tops. Right, like we saw the Gemara before with Rava, that it indicated that he was going to get hit by the end of a stick that had a ball-shaped top, kind of like a turnip top. Rav said, I did not get rich until I saw turnip tops in my dream. He saw them still attached to the ground. So that's when it's a good sign. If they're detached, then it's a bad sign. All colors are good if you see them in your dream, except for tcheles. Rashi says, because it's like a blue-green type of color, and if a person has that type of complexion, it means that he's sick or whatever. All types of birds that a person sees in his dream is a good sign, except for these three, which Rashi says are types of owls and maybe a bat as well, because Rashi says these are kind of ugly or weird looking, so therefore it's not such a good sign. Okay, says Gemara, further, aguf mein mishirim machim and simin. Three things go into the body, and the body doesn't really get that much benefit from them. Gudgudoni ice, types of berries or cherries maybe, but kafni ice. Kafni ice, how does Rashi touch kafni ice? One second. Some type of bad dates or pagit mara and unripened dates. So interestingly enough, Marshall says you don't make a bracha, but it's hard to, you know, we learned earlier that if you have bush like kamros, so you do make a bracha. I'm not sure why he says you don't make a bracha at all. Maybe it means that you don't make the proper bracha on it like we saw earlier. Okay. I mean, interestingly enough, the Mishabura says that there are certain types of, like, berries that even though, based on the definition that we saw before, really should be considered bar priya eitz, but the Olam says bar priya adam on them because they're not really so chashuv, so therefore they kind of lose the, get knocked down one. Okay, says the Gemara, for there are three things that don't go into the body, but yet the body does benefit from them. Bathing, anointing, and v'tashmish, and relations. So these two things, even though they don't go into the body does benefit from them. There are three things that are the likeness of Olam Haba. Shabbos, the light of the sun, and tashmish. So the Gemara says tashmish demai. What type of tashmish? You can tell me it's relations. It weakens your body. The after effect is that you feel a little bit weak. El tashmish tekavim, rather it's referring to going to the bathroom, right? So I guess the Gemara means that sense of relief is made of the mahaba, right? Sounds a little bit strange at first glance, but if you think about it, there's a great sense of relief that a person feels when the waste comes out of his body. So you could imagine that in a certain sense, in the mahaba, right, when we will be purified from all of the spiritual defilement that we have upon us, so we will see, feel, obviously not the same type, but a certain sense of relief on a much, 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 much greater scale. Okay, says the Gemara further, Shloshim Shivim Nayit Shlodim, the three things that restore a person's mental equilibrium, Elyon Kolam Arav Reach, voice, Rashi says, of either nice singing or the sweet voice of a woman, right? Things that look nice, like, you know, flowers, a sunset or something like that, and good smelling things. So it restores a person's mental equilibrium. So, you know, if you feel kind of, if you feel kind of like discombobulated, so it's a good idea to either listen to some music, you know, look at a beautiful flower or something like that, or smell something nice. Shloshim Achim Dalek Tishlodim, there are a few things that expand a person's mind. Elohim Dino Nalav Ishanav Akelim Noim. A beautiful dwelling, a beautiful wife, and beautiful vessels. The Marshal explains this in a negative sense, that it's like the Nefesh Rechava that the Mishnah talked about, or the Talmidim Shel Bilam, to go after Tanug Yilam Hazeh. It's very difficult to understand his explanation, because the Gemara here doesn't say Marchivim Nafshe Sheladim, right, which has like a certain, the Nefesh corresponds to the body, right, it says Daita Sheladim, right, and everything up until now, right, except for the first thing, was positive, right, Meshivim Daita Sheladim, Me'enonim Haba, Haguf Nena Mehen. Right, so it seems a little bit strange to me. And as far as I'm aware, it's not. And also, I wanted to tell through the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos says that it's good for to, you know, it says Nashisi Taiva Elu Mita Mutzas VeIshonal LeTamidei Chachamim. Yeah, okay. Yesh Lain. You know, whether the other Mepharshim argue with the Marashar or not. Says the Gemara for the Chamisha V'Shisha VeAsar Simin Chamisha Echad V'Shishmi. There are three things that are 1/60th of something else. Elohim, they are. Eish, Vash, Shabbos, Shein, V'chalayim. Fire, honey, Shabbos, sleep, and dreams. Eish, Echad, Mishishim, L'Gehanim. Fire is 1/60th of Gehanim. Dvash, Echad, Mishishim, L'Mam. Honey is 1/60th of the taste of Mon. Shabbos, Echad, Mishishim, L'Olam Haba. Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba. Shein, Echad, Mishishim, L'Misa. Sleep is 1/60th of death. Chalayim, Echad, Mishishim, L'Nevuah. And a dream is 1/60th of prophecy. Shisha, Dvarim, Sim, Yavala, Chayle. There are six things that are a good sign for a sick person. Eluhin, they are. Eitish, Deh, Shoshal, Kari, V'Sheino. V'Chalayim. Sneezing, breaking out into a sweat, having diarrhea, having semen come out of his body, sleeping, and having a dream. Itosh, sneezing, dechsev, as it says, ati shoysav tahil or, his sneezes will give forth light, zeh, dechsev, zeh, lechem, by the sweat of your brow you will eat bread, shulshu, dechsev, mihertzeh, alibaseach, right, it talks about when he was getting better, so he's going to the bathroom, v'leyamos, l'shach, will not die, carry dechsev, yirazer, yarachyamim, he will see seed, and he will have a long length of days, shayne, dechsev, sleep, as it says, yashanti, as inuachli, I slept in there, I will rest. Chalayim, I will be refreshed. Chalayim, dechsev, etachlamin, v'achayeni. You give me a dream and you liven me up. You give me life. Shishat v'ar me'ap, and esachal, mechal, v'refosar. Four of the six things that heal a sick person from a sickness, and it's a really proper healing. Meaning, I guess it'll stay, it'll stick. Elohim, they are. Kruv, v'tahad, v'sitzin, v'beishin, v'kevel, v'heres, v'yaseres, ha'kaved. Cabbage, radishes. Rashi says the broth of cooked sisin, which I seem to remember is pennyroyal. As if I know what that means anyway. Keva is the maw of the animal. Heres, Rashi sounds like it's some type of placenta or the sac or something like that. And the Yeseres HaKavad is the diaphragm. Some say also small fish. Small fish cause a person's body to be fruitful and multiply and be healthy. There are 10 things that put a sick person, that return him to his sickness, and it's a bad sickness. If someone eats the meat of an ox, fatty meat, roasted meat, the meat of small birds, roasted egg, if he cuts his hair, if he eats, I have written down on my Gemara, kress, not sure what that is either, if he eats milk or cheese, or if he goes to a bathhouse, some say also walnuts, some say also kishuim. We had a brisa from Rabbi Shmuel. Why are they called kishuim? It's because they're bad for the body, like swords, right? Kishuim loshem kasha eni. Is that so? Hashem said to Rivka that you have two nations in your inside of you. I'll take you going the game. Don't read it as nations, rather as mighty high people. This is a reference to Antoninus, who was the Roman Caesar, and Rabbi, that they were so wealthy that they were able to have radishes and lettuce and kishuin during the summer and winter seasons, which back then was a really big deal. Imagine how much importing such things cost back then. The big ones are bad for your body, the small ones are good for your body. If you see a dead person in your house in your dream, it means that there's peace in the house. If you see, I don't know if it means the dead person eating in the house or you eating in your house. Somebody have a bais, so it's a good sign for the house. If you see, I guess the dead person taking vessels out of your house, it's a bad sign for the house. Targimot, Rav Papa, B'mesan of Sandalot, it's talking about shoes and boots and things like that, sandals. Called the Shakil, Shachva Malibar, B'mesan of Sandalot, anything that the dead person takes out of your house in your dream is a good sign, except for shoes and things like that. Shoes, sandals, etc. Called the Shachva Malibar, B'mesan of Sandalot, if a dead person puts something in your house in your dream, it's a good sign, unless he puts dust or dirt or mustard seed, which kind of has an indication of graveyard, a grave. Malkam Tenegam Menom, B'mesan of Zoro. So the Mishnah said, if you see a place where Avodah Zarah was uprooted, you say, Baruch Shachar Avodah Zarah. If you see Markulis, which is a certain type of Avodah Zarah, that they take three stones, and they kind of like make a like a triangle formation, two, one on top of two, and they throw stones at it, the way they worship this Avodah Zarah is by throwing stones at it. So if you see this Avodah Zarah, you say, that he who gives length of, who is patience, he gives patience to those who transgress his will, and doesn't just wipe them out immediately. If he sees a place where Avodah Zarah was uprooted, you say, blessed is the one, right? Again, we said, Shem Malchus, etc., who uprooted Avodah Zarah from our lane. And then you follow it up with a tefillah. And just like it was uprooted from this place, also to it should be uprooted from every places of Yisrael. And return their hearts, the hearts of those that are worshipping these Avodah Zarah, to worship you, Hashem. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say this thing about return their hearts to worship you. Because most of the people that do Avodah Zarah outside of Eretz Yisrael are Goyim. Even outside of Eretz Yisrael, you should say that. Because they're eventually going to convert. As it says, then I will make all the nations have a clear language. I would think that based on the way we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? We say, it seems pretty clear that, we're talking about all the inhabitants of the world, and not just Yidden, right? And so it certainly sounds like we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Lazar over here. But what's interesting is that I don't remember seeing in the Paiskim, we have in the Paiskim do say that, it's not like according to Tanakhama that it's Usher, so we're going to go like Rabbi Shimon Lazar and say this tefillah. But I'm not sure why they don't bring from the Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur from the Yom and the Rim davening that L'chayre Tamash Mukhach that we pass in the Rabbi Shimon Lazar. Okay, so the Rosh says that if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you wouldn't say Baruch Sha'akar Avodah Zarah Me'ar Tzeinu, you would say Baruch Sha'akar Avodah Zarah Mimakam Azeh from this place. Right? Right, L'maisa, even though there's other dissenting opinions over here, it seems like this is how we pass it. If Avodah Zarah was uprooted from somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, so you say Baruch Sha'akar Avodah Zarah Me'ar Tzeinu, even though it wasn't uprooted from everywhere. And if it was outside of Eretz Yisrael, you say Mimakam Azeh. Then you would say Mimakam Azeh. Further, right, so there's a, hold on, hold on just one second, should we do that now? Yeah, we'll do that now. Okay, so over here we have Tysus. Tysus says that, when the Gemara says that that you make this bracha of who gives patience to those who transgress his will, right, so it's not necessarily referring dafka to the Avodah Zarah called Markulis. Right, it's just that in the place of the Tana, that was the Avodah Zarah that he had, but really it wouldn't be any Avodah Zarah, it wouldn't make a difference, right? Now, Taisa says, nowadays, we don't really make this bracha, so why not? So Taisa says, because you only make, just like all the other brachas, you only make if 30 days elapse, so we see it all the time. So therefore, we don't make this bracha, right? However, the next Taisa, which seems to be just an extension of the first Taisa, has a different approach, and he says that it could be, that he says that according to some Rishonim, the only time you make this bracha is if who extends patience to those who transgress his will is if the Avodah Zarah was newly erected. So he says, when it comes to every other Avodah Zarah, you're not going to make the bracha unless it was mamish newly erected. Whereas Markulis is different, because since Markulis, the way, I'm also including Rabbi Yehuda over here, that the way they would worship Markulis, that they would throw stones at it, as we said before, and then those stones become part of the Avodah Zarah itself, and that becomes part of what they worship. So Markulis all the time is like a newly erected Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it would be specifically on Markulis all the time, but everything else would only be like, if it was newly erected, which is not so often that you're going to see that, right? Tysus also brings down over here that if Avodah Zarah, let's say, was moved from one place to the next, so he brings down a Yerushalmi that says, so from the place that it was moved, you would say, Baruch Shalker Avodah Zarah Mimakom Zeh, right? And then you would say, on the new place, when you would see it, in the new place you would say, Shenasan Erech Maim Lo'ev Ritzoinot. Which is very interesting, because it wasn't really Nekar, it was just moved. And yet the Yerushalmi says that, no, still something, that this place is now clear of Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's see what else we have over here. Right, so Lamaisa, it seems like the Iker Mahalch that the Rishonim go with is that really it would apply to any Avodah Zarah, but since we see it all the time, and there's no 30-day lapse, so therefore you wouldn't make this bracha. It's also a machlekes whether if you just see, let's say, the structure where the Avodah Zarah is housed, is that enough to be able to make the bracha of Nasan Erech Paim Lo'ev Ritzoinai, or would you actually have to see the Avodah Zarah itself? That's another machlekes. That's another machlekes. Then there's another issue of, let's say, you know, a person lives in a certain city, so he sees a certain type of Avodah Zarah all the time, and he goes, travels to a different city, and he sees, like, you know, like a similar type of Avodah Zarah, or he sees maybe a different type of Avodah Zarah. So would you make a bracha? Because you saw some Avodah Zarah within 30 days, right? So that's also not so clear. And then Mishaburah brings down the Rabbah, that even if you didn't see the Avodah Zarah within 30 days, but if the majority of the people that you're living with, you know, are seeing within 30 days, so then you wouldn't make the bracha, and Mishaburah calls it a Dabar Chadash. I mean, Lamaisa, I certainly have never heard anybody, you know, making such a bracha for them, because we don't really see, maybe Rosh Chodesh is the opinion that the house which within it is, you know, I don't know if a cross would be nichol on this. I mean, you know, they do kind of like bow, I don't know, do they bow to the cross? Do they worship it the same way a regular getchka is worshipped? I'm not sure, but I certainly never heard anybody, you know, making this bracha before, which seems like Taiz is already dealing with it. But I just want to mention that a possible limud tzchos, the Rambam says that, you know, if even if you didn't specifically see the Avodah Zarah for 30 days, but, you know, everybody around you, the people that you live with, have seen it, you know, within 30 days, so then you don't make the bracha. So it could be that there's a limud tzchos why people don't really tear kriya so much at the kaisel anymore, because nowadays it's like mamish a less than a day's travel to get to the kaisel. Maybe Chazal were never really referring to something like that. Could be, I'm not sure. It's just a limud tzchos. Really, if you haven't seen it for 30 days, you really should go ahead, you know, and tear kriya. Say, says the Gemara further, like this. If you see the wicked Bavel, you have to say five brachas. Bavel, you see a country called Bavel. I'm Baruch Shachrim Bavel Arishal. But blessed is the one who destroyed the wicked Bavel. Marshal sounds that it sounds like going on the future. If you see the house of Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha, blessed is the one who destroyed the house of the wicked Nebuchadnezzar. If you see the lion pit or the fiery furnace, right, of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they change it to Tzadikim. You say, blessed is the one who made miracles for Tzadikim in this place. If you see miracles, you say, gives patience to those who transgress his will. If you see the place where they take dirt from it, so Rasha says, there's dirt taken from there all the time, and eventually it's going to be destroyed. They had another Baruch. Right, the one who says and the one who decrees and does that there'll be a certain amount of, you know, destruction. Whenever we'd see the donkeys carrying out dirt, he would smack them on the back. Run tzadikim to do the will of your masters. When Ravina would pick up some dirt from Bavel in his sudder and throw it outwards. The time Hashem it says, I will see with the broom destruction. Even though I never heard this before, I made these brachas, you know, of my own volition. I figured it out on my own to make these brachas, right? And obviously, I don't know if these brachas are now shaykh to so much nowadays. I don't know if we know where these places are, etc. So it would seem, you know, that you know, unless a person can manage to figure out where that place is, they can take out the offer, where Avraham Nechanetzer's house is, etc. You know, I'm not 100% sure, you know, how it would be possible to make these brachas. Okay, Adkan Bez Hashem, next on Daf Nun Ches.